He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the February 8th edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. We're working on a few technical issues here, but I'm here. I'm on my Apple iPhone, so hopefully we sound okay here for the first segment of the show. We've got some great content for you today. There is so much happening in the market. How about new highs across the board? You've got the Dow now up 209. Just when it looked like the Dow was putting in a top, well, along comes $109 trillion in the way of stimulus. And the Dow is now up 209 points. 31,357 is where the Dow is. And that's a new all-time high, by the way. Same for the S&P, as it's closing in on 4,000. The S&P is up 22 today to 3,908. Over at the NASDAQ, we got an all-time high. Can you say 14,000? Well, not yet, but we're almost there. We're just 36 points away. Heck, that could happen today. That could happen by noon, Eastern Standard Time, of course. NASDAQ's up 108, 13,964. I've never said that before during a radio show. Russell 2K up 27 points, 1.2%. We've got crude oil up 87 cents. Boy, everybody's happy so far except the short sellers. The gold's up $20. 1833, silver up 53 cents. Hi-ho, silver away, said the Lone Ranger. Silver at 27.55. Dollar flat. The 10-year, wow, this is the highest read as the bond market continues to sell off that we've had in a long time, 1.18%. And let's not forget Bitcoin today. What's going on with Bitcoin? More on that in a moment. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, president of Gunderson Capital Management, headquartered in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, where it's quite pleasant. It's sunny. Expecting rain this week. We're in the high 40s. I'm thinking about going out on my lunch break here and maybe getting a flounder or two. Water's pretty chilly, though. We'll have to see about that. We've got new highs across the board in the market today. As I said, I really thought that the Dow was topping out in that 31,000 area, and it may still be doing that. But it is venturing into new high territory, rarefied air once again today. The big catalyst, $1.9 trillion coming into the economy once again by way of borrowing and printing, those two methods, because we don't have it. I mean, we're in a huge, huge deficit position, but more coming to the economy soon. And Janet Yellen made the rounds yesterday on the Sunday talk shows. You could have either watched Janet Yellen yesterday or Tom Brady barking out those signals at age 43. Quite an accomplishment. I wonder what Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft were thinking up in New England as Brady brings the trophy home for Tampa Bay. And 50,000 cardboard fans cheering on the victory there yesterday. I don't think they... peanut sales were much or hot dog sales were much. I think there were about 20,000, 25,000 or so real fans mixed in. Not quite sure how you got one of those tickets, but you could for $100 send in your cardboard figure to watch the game. And haven't heard yet how they enjoyed the game. Okay, let's take a look. How did we end? We got to always pick up where we left off last week. The averages ended higher last week, despite weaker than expected U.S. jobs report. What was that jobs report? Like 50,000 or something like that? Well, I hope they weren't all cardboard people. That's about what they had in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium on Sunday. We had all three major U.S. stock averages finishing Friday higher. We had a pretty good week. The bond market, however, continues to break down. That's of note there, because eventually that trickles over to the stock market. We're seeing a 10-year that we haven't seen in a long time at 1.18%. Now, I've been saying that the next level of resistance is at 1.20. We're closing in on that awfully fast, and the bond market continues to sell off. Now, that's the beauty of our bond fund. We own individual bonds. Well, yeah, they fluctuate a little day to day, but if you're holding them, they're going to get your principal back at the end unless something big happens along the way. But you don't see that daily fluctuation like you would with a bond fund, where you're really at the mercy of interest rates when you own a bond ETF or a bond fund, and your little return that you're getting on your coupons could easily be wiped out by a rise in interest rates. The only way around that is to hold your bonds to maturity, which is why we invented that best stocks now, well, best bonds now, based on best stocks now bond fund, and it continues to creep higher. Well, Super Bowl Sunday, I asked my sister down there in Florida if things were any different. You know what? There were only 22,000 fans there. The rest of them were cardboard. That's due to COVID-19 restrictions. And 75,000 of the in-person fans were vaccinated medical workers that were invited by the NFL. So in reality, you only have 15,000 live fans. I thought the music track, you know, or the applause for that halftime show, I thought, who's applauding this? This is awful. At least I thought it was awful. You know, I've never missed a Super Bowl in my life. I remember Super Bowl I. My favorite Super Bowl of all time, Joe Willie Namath guaranteeing a win and bringing the bacon home for the AFC back then. He was my favorite player, I think, of all time. Quite a flashy guy. Of course, Brady got to be put down in the record books as the greatest of all time. Pretty amazing what he accomplished. And, of course, you know, the older I get, the more I root for the old guys out there. And 43 years old, he's almost doubled the age of Mahomes. Well, what are you going to do? He wins again. I don't know what the TV viewership was like, but 50,000 cardboard fans. Okay, let's take a look here. I hope I don't have 50,000 cardboard folks listening to my show today. U.S. stimulus lifts global stock markets. Well, Janet Yellen making the rounds on the Sunday talk shows. You had a very weak jobs report on Friday, only 50,000 new jobs. So the case that they're going to do it. They're just going to do it. The Republicans are not going to go along with it. A lot of people have heartburn with another couple trillion in deficit spending, but it's going to happen. And the stock market never can get enough stimulus, ever. The stock market loves stimulus. European shares higher over the weekend last night. German industrial production flat in December. Of course, they're continued to struggle mightily with COVID over there in Europe. Asia Pacific stocks climb. Oil prices rise on U.S. stimulus hopes. China goes after another Chinese company for monopoly practices. Another CEO, I guess, running afoul of the Chinese Communist Party, just like Jack Ma. We'll talk about which company is in the sights right now of the Chinese Communist Party. How about Bitcoin? What's going on? Bitcoin flirts with 42,000. Who's investing in crypto? Well, who's in the news every day? Take a guess. If you guessed Elon Musk, you're right. How many Bitcoins does it take to buy a Tesla Model Y? I'll have Paul do the math on that one. Bitcoin pushes past 40,000 again. Why? Tesla invested $1.5 billion in the crypto and expects to begin accepting Bitcoin for payments in the near future. Well, that's pretty big news for Bitcoin as it becomes more and more mainstream. And in fact, one of your biggest mutual fund investors or money managers, Bill Miller, who had quite a streak of beating the S&P 500 for many, many years. Now he's at Legg Mason Miller Opportunity Fund. He might buy Bitcoin in his fund, and he's an old-time investor, kind of like Gunderson here. Wow, talking about mainstream. Well, who's China going after this time? And a lot of meme stocks. What's a meme stock? Well, you better learn, M-E-M-E. We'll be right back.
And welcome back here to the second quarter. Well, we got our technical issues figured out, and now I'm on that beautiful, beautiful sounding Comrex finally here. Okay, who's China going after this time? Not again. I mean, it pretty much crushed any momentum that Alibaba stock had, and it's still trying to recover from the Chinese government going after Jack Ma, Jack Ma disappearing. Well, now it's VipShop, V-I-P-S, which has been showing up on my radar recently. They do online e-commerce. Well, the stock's down just 2% here. It's been a pretty fast-growing company. It's a $2 billion company. VipShop, China hits VipShop with a $3 million yuan fine. Okay, using recently toughened rules. They toughen the rules and then they whack them. They use those new rules to whack them for $3 million. And VipShop down 2%. Luckin Coffee. Well, you know, I remember that one. I owned it for a while, then I sold it at like 30, and then they found out they were cooking the books. Well, that happens in the U.S. too. I mean, I don't have a problem really investing in some of the Chinese blue chip or some of the bigger fast-growing companies. In fact, some of our biggest gains over the last year have come from a few Chinese companies. Luckin Coffee, well, Coffin's probably a better word, filed for bankruptcy protection. A lot of people were playing that down on the pink sheets and the penny stock sheets. That's not a good place to go fishing, really. You get a lot of trash fish, old tires, things like this, you know, a big chunk of seaweed. Well, Luckin ADRs are down 44% on that news. We're still in the midst of earnings season. I don't see any big ones tonight, unless you're going to wait for Kellogg's big report tonight, Kellogg of Battle Creek, or Take-Two Interactive. Those are about the two biggest ones. You know, when we started this quarter, earnings season, that is, about 4 weeks ago, we were expecting this quarter to be negative versus the same quarter last year, negative. And instead, it's now flipped, and it looks like it's going to be the first positive quarter, meaning year-over-year earnings growth, since the first quarter of 2020. So that's pretty good. You know, I think when we started, we were looking for about an 8% year-over-year drop in earnings. And now we're looking for about a 3% gain in earnings. Why has that improved so much? Well, it's because earnings have been coming in better than expected. In fact, I want to say about 82% of the companies that have reported their earnings have beat their earnings estimates. Now, when you look at the 18% that missed their earnings estimates, it's almost the same companies every time. IBM, AT&T, you know, usually it's the same worst stocks now that miss their earnings estimates quarter after quarter after quarter. 82% have beat their earnings estimates. That's a very high number. And now it's looking like earnings will be positive year over year when this current earnings season is all over. Bankruptcy filings fall to the lowest level in almost 15 years. Now, that's surprising to me. There's got to be a lot of little restaurants and dress shops and boutiques and little markets, etc., that have been hit hard by the coronavirus. But that's the statistic right now. The labor market is stalling, says Treasury Secretary Yellen, the first woman in that role, replacing Steve Mnuchin. And we are seeing the labor market stall. We're seeing the unemployment rate kind of level off here at 6.3%. And we saw only 50,000 new jobs created. So I guess we got to turn to the vaccine news, okay, because that's going to be the big game changer eventually in all of this. South Africa halts the rollout of AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine. Now, this is bad news. They have discovered that the mutation of this COVID-19 down in South Africa is not being covered. AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine is not covering it and not working on it. You know, the other mutations, variants in the UK and whatnot, all the vaccines have worked. This seems to be the first one down in South Africa. At least one of the four vaccines that's out right now, AstraZeneca's vaccine, is not working on the South African variant. That's a little scary, you know. I mean, if this thing continues to mutate and grow and offshoots and evolve into something even worse than what it is already, I mean, you can't rule that out. But right now, that South African strain is not being handled by AstraZeneca. Now, AstraZeneca has said, this is the good news, it is effective against the UK variant. And there's more good news. We have a new player, CureVac, CVAC. I want to say this one has some funding from the Bill Gates Foundation. CVAC CureVac announced that the company entered a collaboration with the UK government. Well, I guess it hasn't been approved yet. No? Okay. But it's on the way. They seem to be making pretty good progress, and they're teamed up with GlaxoSmithKline. Here's more good news on the COVID-19. Israel Hospital says new COVID-19 therapy cured a majority of patients within days. Well, let's see who the companies involved there are. Doesn't look like any of them are publicly traded, but they've been giving this treatment to their patients in this hospital and achieving a success rate of 96%. Okay, these are people that already get it, already have it, and they're going into the hospital for treatment. Let's see, the rheumatoid arthritis drug from Roche and Chugai is a Chinese pharmaceutical, has reduced the mortality rate to 27.3% in combination with serolimumab from Sanofi. So, anyways, that cocktail, very potent, very effective, 96% effective on the patients in one Israeli hospital. Well, this is why you don't ever want to buy stocks on rumors. Last week, the big hot rumor was Apple was going to team up with Hyundai, H-Y-M-L-F, to develop cars, and with Kia Motors to develop their EV, autonomous electric cars. And in fact, many media outlets, I guess we call it fake news, that an agreement was close. No such agreement out there. So those two stocks are tanking on the news. Buy the rumor, sell the news, I guess. Well, when we come back, natural gas is making a big play in the carbon emission, non-carbonization market. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You got the Dow up 183. That's a new all-time high for the Dow. Testing new high territory. NASDAQ up 81. That's closing in on 14,000. That is at new high territory also. The bad news is the bond market today, 1.18 on the 10-year. The big news is Bitcoin. Now, I continue to see, I hate to throw a damper on this party at all, but the move in the stocks recently has been on the speculative side. You know, you're not seeing Facebook and Amazon and Netflix and Google and Apple lead the charge. You're seeing a lot of the small Bitcoin stocks. You're seeing still a lot of the meme. You can look that up, M-E-M-E, the meme stocks. Maybe I should create a meme ETF. I don't know. You've got the Reddit crowd stocks. You know, it's just not a real quality move taking place in the market. I'm just looking at some of the biggest movers today. You know what the biggest moving tech stock is today? MicroStrategy, MSTR. Why? Well, he's the guy that put all of his cash in the company that, you know, sitting in the bank into Bitcoin. That stock's hitting $953 today. It's up 18.5%. Now, I remember in the day when a fundamental investor would look at how much cash a company had in the bank. And there were stocks showing up occasionally that you could buy, you know, for a dollar a share or whatever. And they had that much cash in the bank. So you're basically getting the company for nothing. Now you've got to look at how much Bitcoin they have in the bank. Are they going to have to start listing their Bitcoin holdings as part of that valuation? Absolutely. How much does MicroStrategy have invested in Bitcoin? How much are they gaining today? Now, where will that show up in their income statement? Well, it's going to show up in their balance sheet, obviously, as an asset, Bitcoin. That's where you'll find out how much they own. And in their income statement, well, it would only show up when they sell it. I mean, they would have a capital gain, but it would be an unrealized capital gain until they actually sell it. Then they got to pay taxes on whatever they make. So that will be something new to look for in companies going forward, like Tesla. Tesla now has $1.5 billion of their balance sheet, their cash, invested in Bitcoin. And that will impact the price of the stock. The price of Bitcoin will impact the price of the stock going forward. Bitcoin or Tesla's hitting 867 today. And as I look at the biggest percent gainers today, well, I'm going to go to that natural gas stock here next. But before I do that, I just want to look at Riot Blockchain up 22%. That's a player whenever the Bitcoin stocks move. What else? Yeah, you know what? I guess the Bitcoin stocks aren't that hot, but Riot Blockchain, the biggest winner there right now. Now, let's go to natural gas for a minute. There's been a company that's been out there for quite some time. They were in the Port of Los Angeles was their main base of operation, converting the trucks that offload the big the containers from the container ships to run on natural gas, which there's the abundance of. And it burns cleaner, obviously, than the fully leaded stuff. Westport Fuel Systems, WPRT. I've watched that stock. I remember it's had a huge run back in around 2013. It ran up to $35 a share. And then it went all the way back to $1 per share. And now it's all the way back to $12 per share. Well, the plan is to convert a lot of diesel trucks on the road to cleaner burning natural gas. But the bigger piece of news here is that Amazon is ordering natural gas engines for its U.S. truck fleet. Westport Fuel Systems does just this. It converts engines to natural gas engines. Reuters reports that Amazon has ordered more than 1,000 truck engines that run on compressed natural gas, CNG, in an effort to shift its fleet away from heavier polluting trucks. The engines will be supplied by a joint venture between Westport Fuel and Cummins Engine. Hey, let's see how Cummins Engine is doing on this news, CMI. Cummins, you know, it's up 2.6%. Westport is obviously the leverage play here. Well, you know, Amazon has these heavy-duty trucks that run from warehouses to distribution centers, and now they'll be able to run on both renewable and non-renewable natural gas, renewable fuels and non-renewable natural gas, according to the report. Westport shares already had more than quadrupled since the November presidential elections. Oh, yeah, that has sparked some interest in clean energy. You got to say that sector is a bit overdone here. But right now you've still got all of this speculative move in the market. And the gang is all here, it looks like, on Westport, WPRT. In fact, that Westport deal is the most significant event for natural gas transportation in years. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's been talked about in the past that we're going to go to natural gas, we're going to get away from regular, but it hasn't really happened. Well, it's starting to happen in the trucking industry, fueled by a 1,000 engine motor order from Amazon. Okay, more EV news. CCIV. No, that's not something you stick in your arm when you have COVID. CCIV is a symbol of a SPAC. What's a SPAC? Well, SPACs have made a lot of... We talk about a SPAC almost every day here on the show for the last year or so. Churchill Capital gains after Lucid CEO, I'm glad he's Lucid, declines to confirm or deny talks. Well, Lucid is an electric car startup, and the rumor is that Churchill's SPAC is going to be buying a big chunk of Lucid Motors. Lucid Motors will neither deny or say yes to the rumor. The symbol there is CCIV, another EV player. They're becoming quite numerous. This thing's traded 13 million shares so far today, hitting $34 per share. This is now an $8.8 billion company that went public just a few months ago at about $9 to $10 per share. And it's all on a rumor about Lucid Motors. Now, here's another one. Hyzon Motors, another EV startup. What's the symbol on this one, you say? DCRB. Well, and don't forget, you're going to be able to buy these EVs with Bitcoins here pretty soon. In fact, Paul correctly reports that one Bitcoin will get you one Model Y, give or take. Depends on what kind of wheels you want and what kind of leather and this and that, if you want any extras. But basically, one Bitcoin equals one Model Y. We'll see where that ratio is a few years from now. Anyways, you've got a new EV player, SPAC Decarbonization Plus Acquisition. Symbol, DCRB. It's up 22% after a report that the company is in talks to take fuel cell truck startup Hyzon Motors public. Well, this would be a competitor to Nikola. This would be a competitor to some others here. We've heard a lot of companies trying out the fuel cells, which have been around for a long time. That's why you've seen such big action in Plug Power, in Ballard, BLDP, in Fuel Cell Energy, FCEL, and, of course, Plug is PLUG. I bet on a horse named Plug one time at Pomona. He didn't do so well. SPAC Decarbonization Plus Acquisition. Not a very sexy name for an EV car. I think they'll change the name somewhere along the way. So put DCRB on your watch list. Okay, let's see what else we got. Ethereum will start trading CME futures. A lot of nervousness there. I remember when Bitcoin started trading on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. That was the infamous top in the crypto. We'll see if Ethereum, which is the number two crypto, if that will kill the rally there. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back with our featured stock of the day.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. If anything, this rally has picked up steam. Wow, we are up 1% right now here at Gunderson Capital Management. That's pretty good. The Nasdaq's only up, 0.7%. We have one of the biggest winners in the market today. I could use it as my featured stock, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go to another one instead. That biggest winner in the market today is one that we recently bought in our emerging growth portfolio. I love that little emerging growth portfolio. You know, as we approach baseball, this is February. Yeah, they gather pitchers and catchers, start gathering here at the end of February. Start showing up in Arizona and Phoenix, Scottsdale, Arizona, etc. for spring training. A lot of single-A players, a lot of people in the rookie leagues, double-A, triple-A, all trying to make the big leagues come opening day. I don't know if we'll have cardboard fans or real fans in the stands. We'll have to wait and see. I want to go to spring training this year. Either that or I'll send a cardboard, couple of cardboard cutouts of my wife and I. Right behind home plate at little Padres Peoria Stadium there in Peoria, Arizona. Not Illinois, Arizona. The garden spot of the world. Anyways, I have a little double-A stock portfolio. That thing is sizzling. Maybe I missed my calling in life. I should have been a double-A baseball manager. I think that would be my second. That or a fishing guide. Nah, you know what, a fishing guide, you get too many grumpy people. I talked to a fishing guide. I've gone out with several of them here in the Charleston area. Oh, they get people, if they don't catch a fish, they're all mad. They want their money back. People get seasick. Nah, no thanks. Anyways, our double-A little emerging growth stock portfolio is doing quite well. Nobody's gotten seasick yet. Nobody's asked for their money back. Nobody's complained about the fishing. In fact, I've had a lot of praise and compliments coming from people. This thing has just been unbelievable. You can see it for yourself, exactly what we own, including one of the biggest winners in the market today, and another one that I'm going to feature here in a minute, by getting 2 weeks free of my weekly newsletter. I put 12 hours into that thing on Friday. That's why I did not get out fishing. It's too cold anyway. The water's 48 degrees right now out here in the harbor and the bay and everything, the ocean. That's pretty chilly. Most fish are hiding somewhere. It's trying to keep warm, that's all. You know, and we put 12 hours into that newsletter, and all of the portfolios are there. Every single set. I give everybody 2 free weeks, not one. 2 free weeks. If you go to my website at GundersonCapital.com. But we have had so many people coming to us either to manage their money, to sample the newsletter, to sign up for the live trades. We're having a lot of fun. I don't know what I would do that's more fun than this, except maybe a double-A general manager, you know, picking the players and this and that, talent scouts, going to Cuba to find the prospects. Anyways, we're going to feature a stock from Taiwan today. UMC. UMC. United Microelectronics. Now, I've been saying that the market's expensive right now. 22 times forward earnings is not cheap by any means. That S&P 500 has been held artificially high, that forward PE, because of the Fed keeping interest rates artificially low. Now, the market's starting to take interest rates higher, not the Fed. The market, really, at the end of the day, the market determines interest rates. But having said that, the forward PE of the market being at 23, I can still find pretty good companies, stocks, if you really look. It's trying to, like, finding a redfish this time of year. They're out there, but you've got to look a lot harder. You got to cover a lot more ground. You got to wear a big parka. Ooh. Forward PE of UMC is 21.8. But you say, well, that's right up there with the market gunners. Yeah, but it's growing. It's expected to grow at 20%. 20%. Growth over the next 5 years per year. So that means the PEG ratio is 1.09. Now, if I was a newcomer to the market, you know, I think there's a lot of newcomers coming in into Robinhood and whatnot, and they're running GameStop up to $483 per share. I would look up PEG ratio, P-E-G. That's the P-E ratio divided by the growth rate. You want something in the 1 to 2 area. GameStop, oh, well, I don't think you can compute a PEG ratio. No, you can't, because they don't have any earnings. My shows the PEG ratio at 11 right now, 11 for GameStop. You want something in the 1 to 2 area if you're looking for value. Well, you know, UMC is 1.1. Now, that's the valuation side of the equation. I got to go fast here. 100% upside potential. Now let's go to the momentum side of the equation. A-plus momentum. This stock is ranked number 20 overall out of 5,624. It's a semiconductor maker out of Taiwan, $20 billion company. It even pays a dividend yield of 2.4%. UMC, number 22, will make that our featured stock of the day. Well, if you want to find out why so many people have been coming to us here over the last several years, you sample the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. But even better yet, Paul and Barry, they have been busy, busy, busy. Edie setting up appointments for them. And you've got a couple of guys that know the system here at Gunderson Capital Management, and got two pairs of eyes out there watching over everything we do, and I do, and everything. We're a great team. We work together, a back office team. You can give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. To set up an appointment with us. You don't have to come in. You don't have to find a parking spot in the parking garage. No, we'll talk over the phone. If you want Zoom, we'll do Zoom. That's how people are doing things in 2021. Why don't you take advantage of it? GundersonCapital.com, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.